Welcome to the Hey SGA podcast, a conversation with Chapman Student Government Association. My name is Erin, and I'm joined with my co-host, Philip.
Together, we hope to further amplify student voices and concerns and encourage those around us to start a dialogue about issues within higher education.
Tune in as we discuss what that means for SGA, the university, and most importantly, the students. And don't be afraid to join the conversation with us. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the 8th episode of the Hey SGA podcast. I can't believe we're already halfway through April. With that being said, April is Earth Month and April 22nd is Earth Day. So we thought it would be perfect time to address all things sustainability and environmentalism in this episode.
Yes, and we are so excited to have Mackenzie Cricker, the Energy Conservation and Sustainability Manager at Chapman University, with us here today to speak about some of these topics. Hello, Mackenzie. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Hi, how are you all?
Good, good. How are you?
Hanging in there, you know, gearing up for Earth Week and Earth Month.
Yes, I'm sure this is a big time for you and your office.
Yeah, so thank you for joining us today. To start things off and let the listeners know, would you like to introduce yourself and explain a little bit more about your position and what you oversee?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Mackenzie Cricker. I'm the Energy and Sustainability Manager at Chapman University, as Philip mentioned. So basically, I work anything that the university does that touches sustainability. So energy management, water management, waste management, curriculum, food insecurity, even some curriculum development through partnerships with Res Life, with our HR department. I work with parking and transportation to make sure that we have access to electrical vehicle chargers. I work just about, if it touches sustainability in any form or fashion, my finger is in it at least a little bit. So I also teach in the College of Environmental Science and Policy. So I get some good student engagement there, and yeah, that's a pretty broad overview of what I do.
Yeah. So long story short, you are involved in nearly every facet of campus life.
Yep.
That's awesome. So kind of going off what you were saying, what are some more specific examples of past projects, services, or programs that have come out of the sustainability office? I'll save that question, the second part of this question, for later about what you're currently working on, but what are some past examples?
Yeah, so two of the most recent examples that we've had that I'm particularly proud of, every year we do a greenhouse gas report, and part of that looks at not only what we do in terms of on-campus greenhouse gas production, but also what we do in terms of, you know, getting products to campus, how people get here, and over the last year, so not like 2019, 2020, we actually saw our greenhouse gas emissions reduced by 2%. And largely that wasn't actually correlated with not having people on campus from March to the end of February, or to March until really now. Part of what really made those gains really awesome and great was we were able to do an LED project. And so we transitioned most of campus to LED lighting. And just through that project, we were able to save the university about $250,000 a year. So that project paid for itself basically within the first year. So that's one thing that I'm really proud of. Anytime that we are able to reduce our consumption while we still have building projects that are happening, you know, we've added a substantial amount of square footage on campus. We've added students, we've added faculty and staff. So anytime that we're able to reduce consumption while still continue to provide great service for more people, that for me is really gratifying. And then the other most recent project that we've been working on, and it's just now coming to fruition, I always butcher the name of this Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, but it's the Committee on Socioeconomic Stratification. And one of the things that we look at is food insecurity on campus. So, you know, hopefully you guys are familiar with the food pantry that we have on campus, but we realize that we do need students to be able to access that food pantry in not necessarily in an easier way, but in a more friendly manner, because lots of folks don't know where the food pantry is. If you live in Residence Life, getting access to that is no problem. But if, say, if you live in the K, if you are a transfer student, if you are a commuter student, getting access to those parts of campus is a little more challenging. So one of the things that we've worked with is our Office of Event Services. They have a house that's located on campus. So we're actually able to set up a secondary food pantry there and actually recover food that's coming from the Orange Homegrown Market, which is already on our campus. It allows us to get more fresh produce into the hands of our students that need it. And so for me, that's been really exciting because we're really able to sort of close a loop of a waste product that, you know, lots of that food would just be pitched because at the end of the day, if vendors haven't sold it, you know, they may not have another farmer's market to go to for a few days. So the food might not keep, but if we can get it into the hands of our students, then for us getting that food out of a landfill, getting it to people that need it, that is really important and, you know, hopefully makes people's Chapman experience better.
Most definitely. Yeah, definitely an important resource to be aware of. And I think we in SGA can do a better job of promoting that.
So we can definitely talk about that.
Sounds good.
I know you mentioned food, and I know that the cafeteria back when everything was in person would usually host, I believe like once a semester, collect all of the food that was wasted and just lay it out so that students can be aware of the waste and we can be more conscious of, you know, what we're eating and what we're throwing away. Can you touch on that a little bit more to explain to our listeners what that involves?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a Weigh the Waste project, and we do that in partnership with Sodexo. And so every year, part of it is to help students who are just coming into the cafeteria for the first time understand that, you know, just because they've paired chicken and broccoli, if you only want the broccoli or you only want the chicken, you can ask and say, hey, I don't want this. Can I just have the chicken? Can I just have the broccoli? But one of the things that we really try to do with that project is as we scrape plates, we try to present it really pretty. So then we've had times where students come through and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, is this a buffet? And we're like, no, actually that's food waste. You know, yes, that salad looks beautiful, but that's come from people who have fixed a huge salad and they've only eaten half of it. And so for us, part of what's been really great about that program is that students see it over and over. Our goal really is to try to do that at least once a month. It doesn't always happen. I mean, we try to do it over different meal periods too, you know, because not everybody eats lunch on Tuesday. So, you know, some people, they're in class or that's the day that they go out with their friends. So, but as we've been able to do that for, gosh, we've been doing that program for probably 6 or 7 years now. We've actually seen our food waste go from like roughly 500 pounds per meal period, which that's astronomically high, down to something along the lines of like between 80 and 100 pounds per meal period. And when you consider that not only are we feeding more students during each of those meal periods now than we were 7 years ago, but we also have more faculty and staff that come into that space, being able to go from 500 pounds of food waste per meal period to 80 to 100 pounds of food waste per meal period. It's much more manageable. And it's easier for us to get that into a waste stream. So it's not wasted. It's not ending up in a landfill. It's not contributing harmful methane to climate change. So that, honestly, that's one of my favorite programs because students are kind of like, ooh, what's happening? Or, oh my gosh, that looks so good. And I love it when they're like, oh, that looks so good. I'm like, that's actually food waste. I'm glad you think it that way.
Yeah, different reactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know when I first saw it, I was very curious as to what it was. And after hearing what it entailed, it definitely made me a little bit more conscious about, you know, what I'm eating and what I'm wasting. And yeah.
Well, that program, like, we've been able to work with Sodexo to do things like they used to always put lemon wedges with certain things. And we would go through and we'd be like, we have collected, 50 lemon wedges that no one has actually squeezed. You know, it's just on their plate. It's a garnish. They're not using it. So instead of placing that on someone's plate, why don't we have it in a bowl on the side? So if somebody wants it, they can get it. But, you know, it's done two things for Sodexo. You know, number one, it's reduced their food costs because you're not wasting food. Mm-hmm. And number two, you're also saving some labor time because somebody actually had to cut those lemons. And if nobody's going to eat it, what's the point of having those lemons cut? So, you know, it's enabled us also to see things like, oh, you know, we fixed this one meal and no one ate it or people took like one bite of it. So something about this people aren't liking. So maybe we don't fix this again.
Yeah, it's helpful on a variety of fronts. So Yep, I remember when I was a freshman walking through the CAP and seeing that project in place. So I think it's a cool one.
Yeah.
Kind of following up on this is the second part of the question I was going to ask. So what are some of the things that you and other staff and faculty perhaps are working on in terms of sustainability right now and in the present moment? I know we're facing COVID and it's a completely different situation, but what are some of those examples?
Yeah, so it's a double-edged sword with COVID. Part of what's been nice about COVID is that we've really been able to hone in on some things on campus that we wouldn't have been able to test. We wouldn't have even been able to think about or look at. So some of those are around HVAC projects. You know, it's hard to do an HVAC project if there are a bunch of people in the building. You know, I don't want to make people hot. I don't want to make people cold. I don't want to be really noisy. But if the building's not super occupied, then it's really easy to go in and do those maintenance projects that ordinarily we would have had to push off. And part of those maintenance projects really do improve energy efficiency. So it's really enabled us to play with our buildings a little bit and get them dialed in a way that ordinarily this time of year would not have been possible. It would have been pushed off to the summer. It would have had to be pushed off to Christmas break or Thanksgiving break or something like that, where we have the opportunity to go into our buildings and mess around. And not disturb people too badly. The other thing that has been really nice, and again, I use really nice as a relative term, you know, try to find the silver lining in having an empty campus. It's really given us a lot of time to spend working on some of our reporting practices, sustainability reporting. It's a lot of data gathering. And when I have a bunch of stuff happening on campus, sometimes it's hard to just gather all that data. So sometimes those projects get pushed off. Finally, for the first time, I feel like all of our data is really good and caught up. So when we go to do our greenhouse gas report every January, it's really easy. I'm like, oh, finally, we're all caught up. We have these good processes in place because we've had time to think about them and develop them and make sure that, you know, every month, these are the things that are getting done. So, you know, in December, we're not panicking like, oh no, we have to collect all of this data. We need to make sure that we have everything. We need to make sure that nothing's missing. So for me right now, like those are the big things that we've been able to do as a result of COVID. The other one thing that we've been able to do around COVID is really dial in how we do our waste management collection. So really working with our staff, again, it's a time when population is really low on campus. So our custodial staff have a little more time on their hands to go through additional trainings around, you know, these are things that we always want to make sure get into a recycling bin. These are the things that we always want to make sure get into our compost stream. And because we've rolled out composting across main campus, that's really an educational process for everybody. But because the buildings have been de-densified, we've had the opportunity to work with our custodial staff more and make sure that the processes that we have in place are actually working for them and not just something that we're like, hey, we need to do this. You know, this is how we think it's going to work. Let's cross our fingers and hope that it actually does.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that seems like a really good system that you all have in place. So how can universities, specifically Chapman, combat climate change and other environmental issues?
Yeah, so I think for universities, the first thing is that, you know, we're in the business of education. So educating our students about what it means to be a responsible global citizen and what that means in terms of climate change, I think is a really powerful message, because if we can help our students understand how to live sustainably in their own lives, it's much easier for them to take those practices out when they're, you know, living on their own, or take those practices into a business where, you know, hopefully, you know, whatever organization they're working for, they're able to, if they're not working in sustainability directly, they can at least be a voice to support sustainable change within those organizations. So for me, I think that's really the most important thing that universities can do. And then coupled with that, really walking the walk. When we say that these are things that are a priority for an institution, then we need to be able to say, this is what we're also doing. You know, we prioritize having a clean environment. We prioritizing reducing our carbon footprint. And here are the things that we're doing. Here are the ways that we're making measurable steps. So I think for universities to make commitments around carbon neutrality, around waste reduction, around, you know, even getting rid of toxic chemicals. You know, I see, you know, luckily we don't use We don't clean with anything that's toxic on this campus. And we also have very limited use of herbicides and pesticides. And, you know, when you think about how many students we have that are coming into spaces, we really don't want to put anything into the environment that could be harmful. And so really just educating our students that there are safer, cleaner ways to clean or to manage landscaping. You know, those kinds of things can be really powerful when they leave our institution.
For sure. Yeah, I know this has been a big conversation that Mackenzie and I have been having this past year, and it's one that I think SGA needs to continue to be at the forefront of, which is how can Chapman, you know, do the most that we can in this realm to combat climate change and get not only students, staff, and faculty, but other universities to kind of follow suit, and how can we lead by example? So there's a lot of areas we can work toward.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Phillip's heard me say this many times, but our student population is really the most powerful group that we have on campus. So anytime that our students can advocate for sustainable change on this campus, that's really when we can make some good ground. You know, there are lots of faculty and staff that support sustainability. And really, when we're able to leverage those student voices and show that there is an institutional priority around sustainability, you know, not only does that help our current students feel empowered, but it also helps us in terms of recruitment. There was actually a survey that was done, and I believe it was ASHE that did the survey, and ASHE stands for the Association for Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. And it's really, you know, like Chapman's a member of ASHE, and you know, lots of universities across the country and globally are members of this organization, but they looked at how the sustainability metrics and priorities of a university encouraged recruitment at that university. And there, when I saw that, it was, you know, something like 60% of students were asking questions about sustainability when they came on a campus tour. I was like, I wonder what the percentage is on Chapman's campus of students that come and ask those types of questions. I don't know what those metrics are, unfortunately, but I do know that, you know, the administration has started including certain different sustainability notes as they give their campus tours. And one time, this was completely random, but I had, I just happened to be in Ardra's Forum, and there was a parent who was on a tour, and he just stopped me, and I was like, did he know who I was? but he was asking questions about our solar power garbage compactors that you'll see them across campus, our big bellies. And I was like, did he know that what I do? And he was like, no, he was like, I just saw that you had on like a facility shirt, so I thought I'd ask you. So I was like, okay. So I was like, at least I know one person is coming on this campus and asking these questions. And so I'm sure that there are more. But when we think about using sustainability as a recruitment tool, I think it also, again, becomes really powerful and becomes a good, you know, a good metric for the university to really consider.
Yeah. I mean, I think that shows how interconnected these issues are. I mean, you just described one with admissions, and I think you could describe examples that connect to every other department on campus and how it can benefit everyone. So yes, important conversations to be having.
Yeah, absolutely. Sustainability, you know, just because sustainability is in my job title, I can't be the only one on campus that cares about it and does it. You know, it takes a village.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So what are some resources that Chapman offers specifically for students looking to be more sustainable? I know one of the things that I think of are the bike program voucher. I know not a ton of students take advantage of that, but some examples like that.
Yeah, so we have, like you said, we have our bike program voucher. We've explored some other commuting opportunities for students as well, to really encourage people to get out of their cars, to walk or bike to campus or take public transportation to campus. We also offer, you know, free EV charging. So if you have an electric vehicle, you can charge that on campus for free. You know, we also have a variety of sustainability focused clubs and programs on campus. Some of those, so it's Earth Month. We have quite a few that are coming up. You know, one of the things that we really try to focus on is, you know, helping students think about having a more sustainable diet in terms of what they're cooking or what they're eating in the cafeteria. And so we try to plan like cooking classes once a semester so that students can, you know, either use things that are in the food pantry or use things that are low cost and vegan and vegetarian friendly. So it's, you know, reduces your carbon footprint in terms of what you eat. You know, really, We do, a wide variety of giveaways. We try to really engage students and make it easy for sustainability to be something that they implement in their lives. It is my personal mission to make sure that all of our students have a set of bamboo utensils so that they can carry them in their backpack, so they're not having to use plastic utensils that they're going to pitch and throw away. We also have programs around, educational engagement, and really, we try really hard to make sure if there are students that are interested in learning about sustainability or having a sustainability focused internship, that they know who to go to, that they know who to talk to, that there are resources that the institution can leverage to help them secure those types of internships if that's a career path that they want to go towards. Mm-hmm. We've done things in our residence life areas to help students around water conservation, and we do that for students that live off campus as well. So if they, want to be sure, if they're trying to reduce their water costs at home, we try to help connect them with organizations that will either partially rebate or fully fund low water use appliances and shower heads or faucet aerators, those types of things. We've done quite a bit of that in the past, especially when the drought was quite severe in California. I'm trying to think. I'm sure that there are other things that we have going on that I'm forgetting about, but and really, my office really tries to be a resource for students. So if anyone has questions, if they want data for a project or some sort of classwork that they're doing, we really try to provide that information for our students, because if they can leverage what we're already doing, then I'm happy to say, hey, yes, play with this data. Come back, bring me a great idea. I hope you discover something awesome that we can then use.
Yeah. Awesome. A lot of resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your office has done so much. I know that with everything that you all have been doing, you probably have some goals as well. So what are some goals for the future, some things that you're hoping to implement on campus or just to help students in general that you foresee your office taking on?
Yeah, so I always have energy efficiency goals. So I like to see us try to reduce our energy consumption by between 2 and 5% every year. And being able to reduce energy consumption means that we're spending less money on energy. And hopefully that means that there's more money that we can use to either fund sustainability programs that are featured for our students, or money that we can then push back over to the academic side of campus. So, it's money that you can use for scholarships. It's money that you can use for programming, bringing a speaker to campus, et cetera. And so those are like the operational goals that we have. And we have those around water as well. And one of the big operational goals that we have right now is around waste. We're really trying to get all of our organic waste out of our waste stream, because when we're able to get all that organic waste out of the waste stream, it really reduces the contamination that we get. And contamination is a huge problem around recycling. I would love for us to get to a zero waste campus. That will be a big challenge. And part of it is just because, we have a lot of different departments on our campus. We have a lot of different things coming here. But if we're able to at least pull out one waste stream that can really contaminate a recycling stream pretty easily, then it makes it much easier for us to really try to get to a zero waste campus. The other thing too, we're really trying to, so I talked about our greenhouse gas report earlier. One of the things that we've been focusing on are ways to get more renewable energy onto our campus. We, unfortunately, our campus is pretty dense and we don't have a ton of space. So getting on-site solar for main campus is honestly a huge challenge. But there are some programs now that we can leverage through Southern California Edison where you can actually buy renewable energy straight from the grid. So then we, in essence, could have a much cleaner power stream than what we're already getting from Southern California Edison, and really hopefully help us really reduce our greenhouse gas footprint, and also help, clean the air around us and make sure that we're actually, showing folks that, maybe you live in an apartment and so you can't put, solar panels up because you don't own that building, or, you've moved somewhere and you only anticipate being there for a year. So, again, solar is maybe not the thing that's gonna work for you, but there are programs that exist that allow you to buy renewable energy and put that money into the grid and really help increase the profile of renewable energy and the demand for it. And as consumers, if we can help increase that demand, then it becomes much easier for a utility company to start to shift that direction.
Yeah. Well, those are some great goals. And I think with the so many fires and, you know, disasters that, you know, California and the rest of the world has seen, especially in the past year. I mean, I remember last summer when I was getting ready to come back to Chapman, and I was literally, you know, fleeing those wildfires in Santa Cruz County. And although maybe climate change might have not caused them necessarily, they exacerbated them and make them more frequent. And I think it's just another reminder that, you know, everyone, including institutions of higher education, can do more.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and it's so funny to think, you know, even though the university has not been impacted directly by fires, we've not lost a building to fire. You know, we've not had any direct impact. You know, when we have fires in like the Holy Gem Canyon and up in Silverado, you know, it can be so bad that we have to close campus for several days. And so when you think about that, like, yeah, it's not happening on our campus, but we're suffering the impact. So it's really important for us to think about, hey, what can we do to make sure that these impacts are lessened, not only for the campus community? You know, Chapman's pretty insular in a lot of ways, but we are very deeply embedded within the city of Orange. And so how can we make sure that whatever we're doing is reducing the chance that something like that's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. And there's a DEI component to it. I mean, with environmental justice, I mean, that could be another whole podcast episode. So maybe we'll have to have you on another time, but I know just important to remember that as well. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you mentioned DEI. We have two DEI focused programs for Earth Week, or for Earth Month, and they're both on the sustainability website. If you go to sustainability events, and one looks, it's a panel discussion about a movie called Plastic China, and that's actually done in partnership with Wilkinson College, and they're engaging the future. Is the program that it's run through, but it's a whole environmental justice focus that started this year, and it will go through fall of next year. So there'll be some good DEI environmental justice focused programming that I'm very excited about. So I think when we really help people see, you know, sustainability is not just this thing for affluent middle class people, you know, driving their Tesla and drinking their oat milk out of a mason jar. You know, sustainability is something that everybody can do, and, you know, Indigenous and Black and Brown communities have been really at the forefront of these movements for a long time. So when we're able to leverage what everybody's doing, it really becomes a very, very powerful thing that hopefully helps us change the world a little bit or a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great way to conclude. Aaron, go. Aaron, were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that I'm very glad to hear you say that, Mackenzie. About Brown and Black communities and Indigenous people and just all diverse communities in general, being able to contribute to sustainability and be involved in the process. And also along those lines, I was wondering, are there any challenges that you've faced in the department with what you've wanted to incorporate on campus, or maybe there was a plan or a vision that you had that wasn't able to completely be fledged out?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, operationally, we always have to have some challenges around funding. You know, there is a perception that sustainability is expensive. I've been really lucky, and we've been able to find creative ways to fund programs. But this year, we had planned to transition quite a few things at Chapman Grand. We were able to roll out composting there, but we had planned to transition that whole building to an LED building, and we just didn't have the funding to do it because of COVID. And so we're like, oh, you know, this will save us so much money, but we don't have the capital to outlay to do this project right now. So those types of challenges are frustrating. And then I think, too, you know, there's a behavior change challenge that happens, you know, across campus, mm-hmm. No matter what you're trying to do. You know, if it's around sustainability, there's some behavior change that has to happen. And engaging certain populations on our campus is a challenge. There are certain departments that are not really, they don't view sustainability as something that's pertinent to them. And so finding that value proposition for them, Philip, as you mentioned earlier, you know, there are all different ways for departments to engage. So for me, it's making sure that I'm approaching it in the right way and making sure that I can help them see, hey, this is how sustainability will help you accomplish your mission. This is why it's important to the institution as a whole, not just to the facilities department and not just operationally.
For sure. Awesome. Well, Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, Mackenzie. We really enjoyed, you know, hearing your thoughts and appreciate your perspective and taking time out of your busy schedule. So for all the students listening, we hope you find this episode encouraging so you can take further action at Chapman and in your own lives, living, you know, more sustainably and, you know, doing something to honor the planet this Earth Month and Earth Day. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's been wonderful. It's nice to see you all. And hopefully I'll see you all soon on campus.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Mackenzie. And be sure to follow the Office of Sustainability on Instagram at Sustain Chapman. And more resources will also be linked down in the show notes. So share this podcast with your friends if you found it helpful or interesting. Episodes are released every other week on Mondays on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. See you in the next episode. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.